On Thursdays, we read from your email, and this week we received some comments about Neda Ulubi's series on women record producers and why there are so few of them.
Thank you for your intelligent coverage of the underwhelming presence of women producers. This is from Mary Ann Zahorsky in El Cerrito, California. She writes, "I am a recording engineer and producer. I've been at it for about 20 years. I wish it weren't so, but there just aren't many women doing the more prominent work. I have no answers, but if you have any desires for follow-up conversations with women producers, I would love to hear them."
And this is from Don Ressler in Eastlake, Ohio. "Ever hear of The Ventures? Josie Wilson produced them. Do your homework."
Scott Simon's report from Baghdad on bath party documents drew this from Diana Brewer in Somerville, Massachusetts. "I noted the gravity with which Simon explained that homosexuality is illegal in Iraq. Let us take a moment to remember that there exist laws in most states in our own free country that effectively outlaw homosexuality and or make it impossible for same-sex couples to enjoy the rights and privileges available to all citizens. Maybe we're not so different from the oppressors we've been fighting to oust, after all."
Stephen Blaze in Eaton, New York, also heard parallels between the Iraqi police state that Scott Simon described and the United States. Mr. Blaze describes himself as an American raised on the ideas of free speech, freedom of assembly, and the right to a public trial. But he writes, "What continues to amaze and disturb me is that the executive branch and some members of Congress want to take our own country several big steps down the path of Big Brother. I would urge NPR and my fellow citizens to keep a close eye on the Domestic Security Enhancement Act, a.k.a. USA Patriot 2, which would give the government the powers of secret arrest, wiretaps without court orders, and even the power to strip Americans of their citizenship. Sounds a lot like the old Baghdad to me."
Rachel Gross of Baltimore, whose PhD is in eating disorders, says she listened with shock to Robert's interview with writer Lenny Shulman about Hall of Fame jockey Lafitte Pinkeye Jr.
Dr. Gross writes, "I found it quite disturbing to hear the description of some of the methods Pinkeye employed to keep his weight at 117 pounds. If this was a story about America's top model and the methods she employed to keep her weight at an unhealthy level, we would be hearing cries of outrage at the horrors of an industry that promotes eating disorders. Well, here is my cry of outrage. Lafitte Pinkeye Jr., as well as many other jockeys, have eating disorders that are ignored, if not promoted, by their industry."
And listener Jay Gilbert in Cincinnati made this intriguing discovery about the Montana grocery store we heard about. "It was locked up, we heard, in 1952, and its contents went up for auction last night."
Mr. Gilbert directs us to the website for the store auction. A photograph there shows a record player and an Elvis Presley record album alongside it. Mr. Gilbert asks, "If this store has been boarded up and untouched since 1952, as reported, how is it possible for a record cover showing Elvis Presley to be part of its contents? Elvis's first record was in the summer of 1954, and most of America didn't discover him for at least another year." Well, we asked auctioneer Dan Tryon about this, and he told us that some of the items up for auction did not come from the store, but from the proprietor's home.
We read from your letters every Thursday. Our address is atc@npr.org. When you write, please tell us where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.